Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate, supernatural relationship. We've been talking about 8 steps to engaging the supernatural. The supernatural refers to both the supernatural realm and supernatural beings. If you have been regenerated by God, if you've been begotten of the Spirit, you are a spirit being. That is your new identity and your new nature and your new character. As a spirit being, you have authority and responsibility over both the supernatural realm and the natural realm. If we need to review further, we have a chart on our main pages, both here at Blog Talk Radio and at wecanprepare.org, that gives a good overview of the relationships between spiritual realm, supernatural realm, and natural realm. It's so critical that we understand the difference between spiritual and supernatural. We so often think that we are battling our enemies on a level playing field, that God is up there or out there, and we are on equal footing, equal authority with our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But that's just not true. As a spirit being, you are in God. You are in Christ. Anything that he has authority over, you have authority over. Like begets like. You've been born after the Spirit. You are co-inheritors and joint heirs, not lesser heirs, not lesser inheritors. Now that's, again, in the Spirit. We're working, cooperating with God to bring his life, bring that character, make it available through our soul and body to the world. And so our focus is on removing the hindrances to his life flowing freely from our spirit through our soul to our body and onward. So your soul relates to the supernatural realm. Before you were regenerated, you were a supernatural being. That was the highest level of authority and awareness and senses that were available to you. That's why you got used to being a soulical being. But that's not who you are anymore. You were co-crucified and co-resurrected. So you're now in him, in spirit. And our goal is to learn to walk, to live and move and have our being, spirit, soul, and body, in the spirit, as a spirit being. So to do that, we have to recognize that the soulical way we've been doing things, we are, if we don't understand it, we are basically at its mercy. if we don't understand how our soulical senses work, how our spiritual senses work, we are not able to participate as God would like us to in engaging the purpose and the projects God has for us here. So we want to be fully participating in what God is doing for us and in us at all times. So what does that mean? Just as with any other project, God wants us to be practical and objective about what he is doing in us and through us. He made you the way you are, and his desire is that you appreciate the way he made you. And when we talk about the way he made us, what we're saying is that you are an individual and he's created you uniquely, and he's giving you unique situations to develop your particular, to overcome your particular enemies and your particular flesh especially. But he's objective. He knows where we are coming from. He knows how we've been made. He knows what it's going to take for us to be able to learn to live as spirit beings. So these, again, are just steps for us to start with. If God gives you other steps, or if you've had other teachings that work for you, great. If you take these and God wants to switch things around, great. Now make sure it's God. And that's one of the things we'll talk about, is the enemy does not want you to hear him, does not want you to hear God. Sometimes he doesn't want you to hear him either. And we'll talk later about his tactics, or the devil's tactics. He never makes himself obvious. One of his great tricks is deception. He doesn't come and say, you really don't want to know God, or God doesn't really want to know you. He says it in terms that you would use. He'd say, I've done so much wrong that God really doesn't want to have anything to do with me. I can't hear God. I've never been able to. These, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, are the enemy speaking to you lies in terms that you may have already been thinking. But by him speaking them, they're reinforced. This is why part of our process is to catch what scripts we're repeating to ourselves. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you doing? And when we stop and go, okay, does this line up with the truth God says about me? And if it doesn't, guess what? God's not going to change his opinion of you, because it's not about you, it's about him. He loves you because that's his nature, not because you deserve his love. He can't not love you. That's who he is. So, in engaging the supernatural, again, these eight steps are a starting point for you. The proof of their effectiveness is in their effectiveness. if you're learning other techniques or have other teachings that you've been following, their test, their proof is, are they working? Do you know God better? Do you know yourself better? Do you know the supernatural realm better? Are your supernatural, your soulical senses being sharpened? Are you more aware of what's going on in the supernatural realm, in your soulical realm, your mind, will, and emotions? If not, the pattern you're using, the process, might not be effective. It may work for someone else, but you need to find out what works for you. And that's the proof of it. Are you more aware? Are you becoming more aware? And over the next few weeks and months, we'll be talking more in depth about our, what people refer to as gifts, what people refer to as fruit, a variety of other things that we have taken for granted and tried to frame them as our identity. So let's look instead at what is the process. Whatever you have, don't worry about naming what your gifts are or your callings or your ministry. None of that's really important, because odds are God's going to have you involved in things that don't fall into nice, neat little categories. And down the road, we'll talk about if you have a desire in an area or if you already have a skill in a certain sense, what to do with those. But what's more important is developing a habit and overcoming any wounds or concerns or fears related to engaging the supernatural. So far we have looked at 4 of the 8 steps. So the first step was make yourself available. The second step was give your attention. Pay attention. The third step was ask. Lord, is that you? Fourth is listen. Be available. Let him respond. Then next, the fifth step is engage. Sometimes the Lord will give us a specific task to do, whether it's for us or on behalf of someone else. He will say, go do this, go visit someone, go take care of someone, or take care of this in your life, or speak this word to yourself, to someone else. But often he simply wants us to stand at attention. Not necessarily standing, but be attentive, stand there, soulically and spiritually, and be available in his presence. Wait with him. Wait for him. Wait on him for as long as he chooses. He may choose to have you just be available to him for 30 seconds, 30 minutes, 30 hours, or 30 weeks. whatever it is that he's having you to do is exactly what's best for you. And that's what we want. We're not going to be concerned about being productive or receiving revelation or even having our circumstances changed. We are being obedient by being attentive and not moving until he says, okay, move. Enjoy his presence, rest, and receive. Remember, his goal is to make you able to receive unconditionally what he gives unconditionally and just say thanks. One of the hardest things to accept is that patient, silent waiting in his presence. Whether his presence is felt or not. This is actually the highest form of spiritual activity. Again, whether you feel his presence right now, he is fully present. You are fully present in him. Just because you acknowledge or are aware of his presence doesn't make him less present. He's fully present 100% in your life right now, where you're sitting or walking or running right now. There's so much going on beyond our usual senses, our common senses. Being quiet keeps our soulful and physical attributes from interfering with his work. So very often, going through this process, we get to this step. And however long it takes to be at this step is fine. This is not a race. This is not something we want to get through. The goal is not to get to step 8. It's to be available to God. He can do so much more work in us and through us without our help. And in getting to that stage where we are recognized, we're in his presence, that he's drawn us, we're there together. And whatever he's doing, it's what's best for you. So step 6 is respond. There will be times that during that time of being aware of him, he will quicken something for you to do. After that awareness is over, write down what he told you to do. Then respond to it. Do it. So if he gives you something to do right then, do it right then. If the task is to simply respond for that moment, do it. Again, it's not that complex. It's not that confusing. It can be hard. It can be really hard because we want to control our time. We want to control our day. We may have set aside, 10 minutes to do this exercise. And what God may ask is 3 hours. And we may not want to do that. And that's when he really starts dealing with priorities, goals, values, your flesh, your enemies of the world and the devil. He knows what's best for you. It's not to correct you. It's to free you. You're not damaged. you're hindered, and he's removing those hindrances. You've got shackles on your soul. And sometimes change is so hard that we prefer to live in chains. We prefer to live behind bars because we're used to it. We know what to expect. Freedom is hard. But the benefits, the rewards, are well worth all the effort. So respond. If he gives you something to do right then, just do it. And if the task is to simply respond for that moment, do it. The seventh step is respect and follow through. Sometimes during these times, the Lord will give us direction or instruction, or even give us a whole new birth of desire, a whole new purpose. Even as he does that, our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're all right there waiting to steal that seed. Be diligent, be aware, be ready to take these things seriously and respectfully and begin to nurture what he says, the new direction, the new instructions, the new purpose. Give it the time and attention they deserve. This is where, really, you know, we will receive a real clear direction or goal or purpose or project that God wants to assign to us. But when we don't guard it, when we don't take it seriously, it sort of droops into just a boatload of questions, doubts. At first, we know we've heard from God. We've received something from the Lord. But because we do not have the established pattern, the habit to follow through, to do the research, to do the work and the planning that's necessary, the most convenient outcome is that maybe it wasn't the Lord after all. We talk ourselves out of having heard from God because it keeps us from having to act. I don't know how many people I've heard from that have heard from God in the past. They've heard a word that they would be doing such and such a thing, or that he had this great ministry for them, or that they were going to be involved in a certain gift, for instance, gift of healing or evangelism or any number of things, or that they would be traveling or that they would be ministering or that they would be involved in a certain work. And because they don't know how to take that direction and protect it and nurture it and keep the weeds out and be patient with it, it falls to the ground and dies. And then God gets the blame. God, you said you were going to do this in my life, and you said you were going to do that in my life, and none of that's come true. Because we think God's out there. God's on the other side of the fence. And he's going to do it all. We don't recognize that who you are as a spirit being is engaged in the process of whatever it is God is doing in your life. God doesn't do things to you or for you. He does things now with you. And we can resist and hinder what God wants to do in our lives when we don't engage. So develop the habit of responding, taking what God says seriously. This is what he wants you to do. How do I do this, Lord? What's the next step? And this is where each individual situation, you're going to have to give it individualized priority. And because our memories are so bad and our lives are so full, you need to write it down. What's fun is the more respect you give God by taking what he says seriously and writing it down, the more clear it will become. The easier it will be to overcome your enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because you will be more and more seeing things from his perspective. And you'll see the value, and you'll see those wounds healed and experience freedom. And it's the goodness of God that will draw you. And what used to seem so difficult, maybe saying no to people, maybe saying yes to people, he will make easy. Because you will have things in a spiritual perspective. You'll probably enjoy your own character more than ever. Because you will see it becoming more and more what it was created to be, in complete submission and subjection to your spirit. That's that freeing rest, because you will just be who God created you to be. You don't know what he has for you, but you can ask. We don't know what God has up his sleeve, but we can prepare. And it's so exciting when we start asking him, Lord, what's on the agenda for today? And he starts telling us. There's nothing on this earth right now that you don't have dominion over. The problem is your soul. Not your spirit, your soul. In your spirit, you're complete, you're finished, you're done. So don't be looking at your outward circumstances as a measure as to how you're doing. So that's step 7. What's step 8? Back to business. Simply return to what you were doing. Remember, the Lord is under no obligation to explain his timing or direction to us. Now, as we become reliable and instantaneous in our response, and as we develop these habits, he will likely keep your name high on his list of those he can trust. Over time, you will find it likely that he will begin to share his purposes and plans, what he is doing through you. Not so that you can take on the work and the effort yourself, but so that you can rejoice with him as he does the work to and through you. So once you've written it down, Lord, what's the next step here? Just go back to what you were doing and integrate those new habits, those new projects, the next step, integrate it into your life. This is part of who you are now. Doing your new nature will begin to override doing your solical nature. And this is where that rest really has an impact on your body. So we'll be picking it up there next week. We'll be starting to talk about regarding his personal presence, recognizing and protecting and what to do with the personal presence of God in our lives, that awareness. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again on Saturday at 9 o'clock. Until then, have a great rest of the week. And you can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. Have a great day.